Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Salvation Revealed, Bible Bits from Ephesians. In this session, we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20, the weapons of our warfare. How do you see people who you are not sure are born again? The answer to that question will affect your motivation for evangelism. Christians are called to the business of winning lost souls. Satan is committed to preventing as many salvations as he can. So the normal situation between Christians and Satan is warfare. We're engaged in spiritual warfare, which means a different kind of battlefield and different kinds of weapons. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, text, verses 10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The battlefield is the human mind. The weapons are found in our relationship with Jesus Christ. The combat strategy, well, the mission is corporate. The mission is corporate, but spiritual warfare is waged individually. It's a struggle between spirit and flesh. Satan was defeated by Jesus Christ at the cross, but we voluntarily give him ground in our lives through our sin. Ephesians chapter 4 points it out, verses 26 and 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Walk in the Spirit and you experience victorious Christian living. Walk in the flesh and temptation leads you into sin. Why have past spiritual battles failed? They were most likely fought in the flesh, and you were not using armor and weapons available to you. How does a believer take advantage of the resources made available to him or her? Put on the whole armor of God presented in our text for this session. Verse 10. Check the source of power. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Picture the Roman soldier with his defensive protection gear and offensive assault weapons. Let's consider these items of warfare and their purposes. Why is this important? Verse 11, you may be able to stand. Verse 13, that you may be able to withstand. Verse 12, to be able to stand against Satan's spiritual attacks. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. For without the full armor of God, you cannot stand against the enemy. First, put on the belt of truth. The first part of verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. What is the purpose of a belt anyway? What is the purpose of a girdle? It holds everything in its place. God's truth holds the various parts of life together. and Jesus Christ is the living truth. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus made this clear. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And God requires truth in our inward parts. Psalm 51 verse 6, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then second, put on the breastplate of righteousness. The second part of verse 14. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, this piece of armor protected the soldier's heart. The condition of your heart directs your life. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Referring to Jesus, Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 59, 17, he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Do you understand what it means to be in Christ? Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 9. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak. How did Levi pay tithes in Abraham? I mean, good question. Because he was in the loins of Abraham when the patriarch paid the tithes. So he received credit for the payment as his descendant. Romans chapter 5, verse, let's just move this on. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 to 17. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there was no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. How did Adam's sin spread to all mankind? Because just like Abraham and Levi, we were all in the spiritual loins of Adam when he sinned in the garden. So we received the wages of his sin. And then if you go over to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, we bring it forward. Therefore, we were buried with him, referring to Jesus, through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. How can Christians claim the victory of the cross? By identifying with Christ by faith. We spiritually died and resurrected with him. By our trust in him, we are in Christ. Imputed righteousness protects against God's eternal wrath for sin. And implanted righteousness protects against Satan's daily attacks. And then third, put on the shoes of the gospel, verse 15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Always be prepared to share the gospel as a minister of reconciliation, bringing peace between the lost and God. Readiness. You see, a soldier is constantly ready to serve. Surrender your life to Christ and learn to lead someone to Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Christianity is not a weekly religion, but it's a 24/7 relationship. And then fourth, take up the shield of faith. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You need to be able to defend against the blows of the attacker's weapons. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 23. Till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. Satan is a skillful and deadly hunter of men. Faith is the shield, being fully convinced of the truth of all God's promises. The order of the armor is critical. Belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of the readiness of the gospel, and then hold the shield of faith. And then fifth, put on the helmet of salvation. Verse 17, the first part of it. And take the helmet of salvation. Wait a minute. Hold on. Shouldn't we put on salvation before anything else? Yes. But that's not what is addressed here. A soldier's head must be well protected in battle. A Christian's head must also be guarded, his thought life. And it's all thoughts, every thought. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What you see affects your thoughts. What you hear affects your thoughts. Romans chapter 6 verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christians are to focus on their eternal hope, not the world's temporal hype. Are believers to simply be defensive-minded with armor? No. Spiritual warfare is both defense and offense. There are two weapons listed, and we need to be able to use them. Soldiers receive training and practice with weapons. So sixth, take up the sword of the Spirit. The second part of verse 17. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 likens the word to a sword. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So memorize God's word. Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Quote scripture when tempted. Look at Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the city and set him up on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Believers can experience that same victory. And then seventh, employ the weapon of prayer. Verses 18 to 20. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Satan cannot defend against prayer unless he can get you to stop. Prayer is the deadliest weapon when it's used along with the Word of God. A couple of instructions on using this powerful weapon. Pray always, publicly and privately, solemnly and suddenly. Pray for all things, confession of sins, requests of mercy, expressions of thanksgiving. Pray for yourself and for all the saints. That's intercession, and especially for your pastor. Why? Well, read verses 19 and 20. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Satan uses many people to tempt your pastor from speaking the truth of God's word boldly. Why? They refuse to deal with the sin in their lives, and they don't want to hear the truth from the church leader. You think about that, and you have a great day.